sounds of rumble in the jungle. Once I heard Dad was outside again counting birds, and Mama plugged in a nightlight, and I saw the queen of the world.
Welcome to the Golden Hour of Earth podcast. I am your co-host, Liz.
And I'm your host, Natalie. And tonight we have Rihanna from Texas on. So Rihanna, thanks so much for coming on tonight. How's it going?
It's going wonderful. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. So if you want to tell us a little bit about you and your family, and we can go from there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my name is Rihanna, and I guess we were talking just a little bit beforehand. I have been doing this for a little while. I have four children. I'm a homeschool mom, and I'm also an entrepreneur. I started a business in 2019 where I teach kids like gardening and art and creativity and just kind of like mix it all together, primarily homeschool students. Yeah. And I also, we're kind of a blended family in a way. So I was married previously, and my first three kids are with my first husband, and I've been married for almost 6 years to my current husband. That sounds bad to say current husband, to my Joshua. Yeah, and so we co-parent with my ex-husband and his wife, and so it's a little different, but it's also really good. Yeah.
Good. That's awesome. Yeah. So do you homeschool other kids as well with your children?
No, I have done that in the past, just when like other moms needed help, but that's been a few years since I've done that. And now I have four kids, so I probably could not do that. But no, I, one day a week during like the spring and the fall, I will teach kids like the whole day, and we'll do like this unit study. So like in the past, we've done pond and sky. And the last one we did that was so fun was dastardly plants. So we learned about, you know, carnivorous plants and toxic plants and how plants talk to each other. And also the beautiful thing about plants, like the last week we did like a really cool thing about how great they are and how not dastardly they all are. And then we also do like art projects with that, and we do gardening projects with that. So it's this like very holistic kind of thing that we do for 4 hours or so. We eat lunch together, and it's just beautiful, and it's great for like parents to connect, you know, because I really believe like it takes a village for sure. Yeah. And you know, having other parents come, and they have got toddlers all the way to older kids or whatever come, and getting to be this space together and sometimes learning together, or just going and chilling in the different like spots we have in the yard for hanging out and getting information for one another. It's a beautiful thing. It's a lot of connection that happens. And so, yeah, I get to do that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I feel like my best friend would be like all over that. She majored in fisheries and wildlife in college. So that sounds really cool. Right up her alley.
Yeah.
Awesome. So if you want to share a little bit about deciding to start a family and like your pregnancy journey.
Yeah. Well, I've always wanted a family, and I always wanted a big family. Like it was just me and my brother growing up. And that was just because he was such a little hellraiser. he just didn't calm down till he was 25. He's a great person, and he's like a really, really good friend to me. And we never fought growing up. So it wasn't like he was a bad kid. He just, you know, I don't know. Shouldn't have went to school or something. I don't know. But so I always wanted a big family. I mean, I always wanted to have kids young because my parents kind of had us young, and they were just always so fun. And like they were like the highlight of parties, like my parents were for my friends, because I guess a lot of our friends, their parents were so much older than them. So yeah, I didn't actually like plan to have most of my kids. I just kind of like let it happen, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But still very intentional, like, yeah, you know, I want a family and I don't mind having kids young and stuff like that. So I think I was 20 whenever I had my first kid.
How was pregnancy?
Yeah. So, okay. So pregnancy, yes. I was like, what is the other question? Pregnancy was, you know, for me, and I have so many friends that this wasn't the case, but for me, it was wonderful. You know, I didn't have any problems at all. I loved being pregnant. Like, I was just so happy, you know, a little tearful at Sleek commercials or whatever, which was super surprising, but it was so good because there's so many gifts that pregnancy gives you. And one of them is that, you know, being more emotional and able to like process things just about yourself while you're getting ready to enter this new chapter and welcome this new person into your life. And so I loved being pregnant. I loved reading everything, pregnancy, tons of books and articles and things during it. Felt really great. So yeah, I just really enjoyed pregnancy. I feel bad saying that because I know so many people who threw up until the day they gave birth. Yeah. And I feel awful for them, but I'm grateful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I like got breakfast with my girlfriend the other day and I like cried twice there. I cried at a book when I was reading to my son the other day. I was just like, that was five times in a row.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yes.
Lots of hormones.
Yeah. Just circulating all around. So if you wanted to kind of share like a little first story, I don't, you know, however you want to go through your children, we can go to their birth stories.
Sure, sure. So yeah, I have four children and all the way from the ages from 4 to 18. So I have a 4-year-old, I have a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old and an 18-year-old. So with my first son, you know, I was really young, but I still knew that I wanted to do it naturally. So like I read what I could, but because we weren't exactly like planning, you know, to have a baby, we were on Medicaid, which I didn't even know what Medicaid was at the time. And someone was like, hey, you can do this thing and, you know, they'll pay for your baby. And I was like, oh, okay, this is cool, I guess. Anyway, so I was like limited in what I could do because we're at the hospital. But I read everything I could. It was really cool. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning when my water broke and I just was like, oh, this is cool. This is happening. And I didn't want to be at the hospital as much as possible. So I waited till really late to go. Like, so I was like, okay, I really need to go. I don't remember what time it was, but it was probably around 4 o'clock, something like that. And then I remember like eating an apple while we were being checked in. And even like, I was like having to fill out some forms and I was like, oh, and I was like, you know, squatting on the ground, like trying to get through contraction while I fill out the form and eat my apple. Because I was like, they don't allow you to eat, you know, in the hospital. Yeah. I'm going to eat. Because I'd heard all these other stories of like women getting to do whatever they want to. And I'm like, man, I'm going to a prison to have my baby. Anyway, so I did that. And it was, you know, for me, that first time, I think it was good. The doctor who delivered my son, I met him in the elevator. He was really nice. And then I saw him whenever he delivered my son. So that was weird. But I had like three nurses and one of them was like kind of intense and one of them was super gentle and soft. And the other one was like just super practical. So it was crazy. It was like these three personalities and it was exactly what I needed. Cause I remember, you know, silly things like I didn't even know. I'm like pushing and she's like, no, push from your bottom. And I'm like, oh, that's like different. You know, you kind of think, you know, you push from a certain spot. Never. Anyway, so it was really great. He was born at 6 o'clock. So it was like 12 hours of labor total and not even like that, like an hour of pain. So that was really cool. And then my second baby was not born until, gosh, he was 5 or 6 before we had her. And that was intentional. We felt like he needed, you know, somebody else in his life. And I had a midwife. We didn't have any midwives in where we live in Waco. And so we had to drive to Austin for all the appointments. And then, so that means she had to drive here whenever it was time to give birth. And she was wonderful. But it was also one of those things where I'm kind of shy and like, I don't want to burden people. And so I was like, hey, kind of in labor. And I didn't have really start having contractions until 10 o'clock that morning or something like that, like in the morning. And heads up, she was born at like 12:30 or something. So basically I get on the phone. She's like, well, can I grab lunch? And I'm like, sure, grab lunch. Just, you know, come down when you can. And then my husband calls her and is like, hey, it's different. And she's like, have her lay on her left side, you know, like don't let her move or she's going to have that baby. And so I had to just breathe through contractions and not move on my left side until she showed up. And my mom, the way she describes it is like the midwife whipped in the driveway and almost ran her over because mom was like directing her where to go, like waiting for her to show up. And then she was born just like a few minutes after that.
My gosh.
Yeah. And not only that, it was really interesting. Her brother was like a documentary filmmaker. So she was like, hey, my brother's in town. He's doing this documentary on natural births. Can he come? And I'm like, I don't care. Like, bring whoever, just probably come. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's cool.
That was fun. Was it, I don't think he ever finished the documentary, though.
I was going to say, was it part of it or?
It should have been because I think I was the first birth that he ever filmed. And then he filmed us 2 more times after that, like updates on life and that kind of thing. But then I never, ever heard anything else about it. So I don't know.
Oh, wow. So what made you like want to seek out a midwife and switch to, you know, home birth?
Yeah. Well, I've always just felt, I guess, more comfortable with like natural things. I don't know. We didn't grow up using like a lot of medicine and stuff because my dad just didn't. And I've always felt like connected, like outside is like where I want to be, you know, to like the earth and stuff. And so I just didn't want to, I don't know. And also, I don't like people telling me what to do. So there's like a little bit of that, like, you know, teenage rebelness too. But mainly I wanted things to be as natural as they could be. And also my son who was born, he got lead poisoning at like one or something. And it wasn't good. Like, and I had really negative experiences with the doctors because I really felt like he had lead poisoning and they said, no, he doesn't. And I was like, can we just test for it? And they just wouldn't. And so I had to like jump through all these hoops and go to special doctors in Austin in order to them to tell me that, yeah, we've never seen lead in as high as anyone as your son. And yeah, it wasn't so that, you know, that was a negative experience. Obviously, I have lots of friend doctors. They're wonderful people too. But for birthing, I think it's really well done in the midwife industry, like, or industry, I don't know, space. They have less inductions, less cesareans, less deaths, less all of it than others. Anyway, so having my son, having my son and going through trying to heal him and things like that and people not listening to me, not listening to my instincts, it just kind of took me down a whole nother path of like a more natural path. And I read Ina May Gaskin. I don't know if you guys are familiar with her, but she's just wonderful. So reading her books, those were like my Bibles whenever I was pregnant with Amaya. Because hearing those positive stories and hearing what women can do and how they can be there for each other was incredible. And so I wanted that to be part of my experience. And there's always going to be fear with birth, whether you're in a hospital or whether you're at home. And honestly, stress and things like that plays a really, really big role. And so the more you can minimize those things and where you can feel safe, the better the outcome, the better the chances the outcome is going to be. And so that's why I knew I wanted to have, you know, my baby at home. And also, I really didn't like being at the hospital and them taking my baby away all the time. And I still had like hooked up to stuff. I couldn't move. I was in like this awful robe and I'm like a clothes person. So I didn't like a lot of those things. I didn't like the smell. The food was awful. And I didn't like having to leave and then go home. Mm-hmm. When you have a baby at home, you have your baby wherever you want to, right? And then your bed is a few steps away, or maybe you're already in your bed, you know? It's just a completely different experience. And I know that not everybody can have that or even want that. But for me, it felt right. So.
Yeah. That's awesome. We love Ina May. Love.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So kind of going back to like the experience with less blood poisoning, like what were the signs and symptoms?
Well, he kind of just started regressing. Like he was saying words and things and then in normal interactions. And then he just kind of stopped playing with kids. Like when we would go over to like a friend, like he was by himself and he just wasn't acting normal. And then he wasn't saying any more words, you know, like he was pointing a lot and he was grabbing my hand to lead me places. Mm-hmm. But it's your first kid. You also don't know. And then, you know, my husband at the time, his parents were like, oh, you know, his dad was like that, you know, he'll grow out of it, you know, so you're hearing all those things and some of those things because it is, you're like, oh, okay, you're older and wiser and, you know, I'm going to listen to you and whatever. Then you just kind of squash some of those instincts or some of those, you know, questions that come up. Yeah. And then what else? Then it started being worse behavior. Like he would bang his head on the wall. And things like that, like, you know, and then you start looking up stuff where he started lining up his toys. And I was like, that's weird, you know, but this was back. You have to remember, this is back in, she's born in 2004. So this is like 2005, 2006. So at that time, you know, that is really prevalent now. Like people know about all those behaviors now because the lead poisoning led to like a diagnosis of autism, you know, so people know that those are the signs. And now it's 1 in 45 kids, I think, that have autism. So we're not doing anything better in our world right now. So yeah, that's kind of what was going on. And I read an article in a magazine. It's just super random. I just read this article and I just felt like whatever I read made me go, oh my goodness, I think he has lead poisoning. And it was just kind of like a universe thing or a God thing and a mom intuition thing that happened that made me think that, you know, and that's why I was like, I just want to test, you know, to figure this out.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know our son, like had a blood test and like their pediatrician's office or his pediatrician's office just like sent us a letter in the mail. Like your son's lead was a little higher than normal. And so we've like started to like filter out our water, even though we have like good water, but like just filtered out more. That's really all we've done.
Oh, it's serious. I mean, it's a really big, it interferes with their development. So it's a really big deal.
Yeah. Like,
and then people also don't realize that with heavy metals, they store in the body, like they can store in fats and stuff like that. So the blood test is great for like recent exposure. But if it's been a recent exposure and then not super recent or whatever, it can still be stored in the body. And it's still actually wreaking havoc in the body. And so you have to have a special test in order to see what metals are in the body that are stored, you know, if it wasn't a recent exposure. So like, for instance, his lead was so high, it was off the charts. And then they would do like hair samples because through the head is how we one of the ways we release heavy metals, also through urine and other ways. But and he was like, none at all, because his whole detoxification pathways were blocked. And so he couldn't get rid of the heavy metals and things that you normally just would be able to just pass, you know?
Oh, very good information to know. I think
yeah.
I need to
and
do more
just
research.
Like, yeah. Well, like just, and also just following your instincts, you know, when you have those little things come up, you know, just be like, you know what? You are, yes, you're not a doctor or whatever, but I know many, many moms that have saved their children's lives. They're not doctors, right? Because there's something that's greater sometimes in all of our frontal lobe head knowledge, right? And it's called intuition, and it's on an energetic level and it's real. And so it's important to do that. And actually, I went back to that first doctor who refused to give me a lead test a year and a half later after we, you know, went through the hoops to go to this other doctor who would listen to us. And I was like, you know what? Here are the tests. Mm-hmm. And I'm only here to let you know that the next mom who comes in here and says she has a feeling about something, just listen to her. Because she might be right, you know. And I left. I walked out. So I hope he heard that.
I love that so much.
I was really angry.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good for you. Awesome. So I guess any more on your second?
See, well, you know, I learned about afterbirth contractions when having her. No one told me about that because it was like, I had the baby, everything is perfect. And all of a sudden I'm in pain. And yeah, so I learned about that. And yeah, I don't know. But you know, also with every single baby, I've had this weird, I don't know if you guys or listeners have had this happen where every time I have a kid, I have like a new like wave of inspiration. Like when my first son was born, I like started sewing bags. And then when my daughter was born, I like started sewing clothes and like, oh, I've got to do this new business. Like I just had all these ideas. And it's been that way with like every kid where I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this now. Can you guys, have y'all experienced anything like that? No.
I mean, I honestly am like kind of realizing that because like after Wes was like 8 or 9 months, I'm like texting Liz again. Like, Liz, I'm like really feeling this passion and this draw to like actually do this podcast because we talked about it like 3 years ago and now. And then I'm pregnant and like I'm 36 and a half weeks. So very close. And I am like, I really want to take up my calligraphy. Like I enjoy like writing names and stuff like that. And it's been like a work in progress, but like, I want to go get like all the markers and just do calligraphy for hours.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. Because when I think about Maya and her birth, like I bought these like special sheets, you know, and it was like this, she was born in December. So she was like my first winter baby and they're like a deep red color. And I just remember being in bed with her all the time and like researching Etsy and like being inspired by other makers and stuff. And that's like, when I think about her birth and all that, it's the birth and the weeks afterwards. It's just like being in this beautiful, you know, bed. Like the sheets were like a gift to myself of like, oh, we're just going to like enjoy this, you know, like let this be special and just, I don't know, kind of get lost in creativity at 2 a.m., you know, whenever you have to be up anyway.
That's fun. That's a cute story. So how was your third birth?
Yeah. So it's funny. Now I'm thinking they're all so different. Okay. So my third birth, we had moved to the country. And so I had to choose a different midwife. And this was a midwife that was also an hour and a half away, but like west of here. And she was really wonderful. She did a lot of like mission work where she would be a midwife in like Mexico and things like that. And so she was just really cool. And she's also very intuitive. Like I remember one time during one of the visits, I also did not want to have like any fetal monitors because I'd heard that, or I'd read that, you know, there's like a little bit of radiation and the babies move away from it and stuff. So I was like, I just don't want to do that. So she just did the like old school one. And so she would find the heartbeat that way every time. Well, one time she couldn't find the heartbeat and we were both a little worried. And she's like, oh, I feel like I'm supposed to put it on your belly button. And so she did that. And then she heard the heartbeat. The baby was just in a weird position. So, you know, having a midwife like that, that's like, listening to something greater than herself made me feel really comfortable. But again, I think I still hadn't got over my like being a burden to people syndrome. And so it was like a similar story where I was like having contractions that morning and I called her and she's like, okay, cool. You know, how long do I have? I was like, I don't know. Whatever you think, just come whenever you're ready. Cause I also really enjoy my alone time. Like I don't need someone hovering over me. So she was an hour and a half away. She's like, okay, I'm just going to grab a bite and head that way. Cause it was like 10 or 11 or something. And my water broke at 12:30. Eslin was born like, I don't know, 10 minutes later or something. So there was no midwife.
Wow.
I remember like, it was so like my water broke and then it was like instant pain. And then I was like on all fours. And my husband at the time, this was my first husband, right? Cause this is the third baby. He was a kind of a checked out person, I think, in a lot of ways. And he's like, look at the like binder that, you know, 4-inch binder that you get from the midwife. And he's like, you know, trying to find the page of what to do for giving birth. I'm like, this is not the time for it. I'm like, just get behind me and I'm on all fours. And that there's one push and then Eslin is there. So it really was and the easiest birth, I guess I had, definitely the strangest. She got there 20 minutes later, but what was interesting too about that birth, I learned a lot with this one. Whenever she got there, I was literally sitting on the rug in front of our bed, like this jute rug that I totally ruined because there was a giant blood spot there. And I was kind of sad about it afterwards, but I'm sitting there and I'm shaking uncontrollably and I'm holding my baby. And I've been that way for 20 minutes. And she walks in and she's like, what is going on? Like, cause she's like, you haven't delivered the placenta. You're freezing cold, you know, like the baby's not wrapped up. And again, my husband at the time, I guess just was in shock too, or didn't know what to do or something. And my mom hadn't arrived yet, or she was with the other kids. I'm not sure. And so she gave me aconite, which is like a homeopathic remedy, which our family uses homeopathy. It's like one of our favorite things. And instantly she gave that to me and instantly felt like someone like slapped me on the cheek. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was just like in shock. And I'd never experienced shock before. But it kind of paralyzes you where you just kind of are in a different world. You don't know, because that's not very motherly to like have your little, she was so little too, you know, like this little baby and like you're both kind of shaking because she's not covered or anything, you know? Yeah. And I hadn't delivered the placenta, which I should have already done, but I didn't even like feel the urge because I was like not in the reality. So that was an experience. And then the afterbirth contractions with Eslin were really, really awful. So I would be like on the ground nursing her in excruciating pain, crying because I have to feed her. And also this is awful. And so I had been, you know, reading, of course, lots of Ina May and things like that. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to talk to my body. And because my midwife had given me like after ease, like tincture and stuff like that. And it didn't do anything. She's like, this helps so many of the moms and it didn't do anything. It just felt like nothing. Anyway, so I remember one time, cause I couldn't take it. This was like on day three and I was like, this is awful or something. It'd been a while. Right. And, I just talked to my body and I was like, body, you're doing such a good job. Like, I know you're shrinking the uterus. Like, I know this needs to happen. We need to go back to way it was. This hurts so much, but I'm just so thankful for you that you know exactly what you need to do and that we can do this together. And dude, those pains were like 60% less painful after that, which was very shocking to me because I wasn't doing it to ease the pain. I was doing it to connect with my body more instead of being resistant, because that's what's so great about natural birth, right? Is that you're able to surrender to the pain in the process. You have to. If you don't surrender to the pain in the process, it's much, much harder because you're literally clenching when you should be opening. So there's a lot of lessons that we can learn, you know, if we're willing and also if we're able, you know, physically and mentally to go through the natural childbirth process. There's a lot of like giant lessons. And so that was just really cool for me to be like, oh my goodness, like my body talks and I can talk to my body and it can actually have like a really big influence on how I feel, you know?
Yeah. That's really beautiful. My chiropractor and I were kind of just talking about that. And she's like, my baby's breached, were what I was told like 2 weeks ago. And she's like, maybe like you just like need to let her know that it's safe. You guys are all safe. She's going to be safe. So it, I guess I don't take the time to talk to them and I should be. And so I've been trying to be more like more intentional about that. And it's just really cool. Like, that I had like that conversation and I keep hearing it. It's just kind of a fun.
It's for you. The message is for you. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. So the final, the grand finale.
The grand finale. So this is little Zealand and he just turned 4 a couple months ago. And this was really cool because, you know, it was with my husband now and, you know, just someone that I'm supposed to be with, you know, like that was just a whole process of like waking up to my marriage and being like, you know, like we really get along as friends, but we never were meant to be like partners, you know, like intimate partners or anything like that. And there was just a lot of, he had a lot of issues too. And so it was just, it was cool because like there was no baggage with this, you know, because we were both older also, you know, like, so we're like more whole people. So there's less like hurting you do whenever you're not together and when you're like an idiot and 21 or whatever. And just, we're just really aligned. Joshua and I are just really aligned on a lot of things and the way we want to live life and the way we want to, you know, have children and things like that. And we, at this point, it's 2017 or 18 or whatever. And there are like 3 choices for midwives in Waco, which was wow. You know, because before I didn't have that option. It didn't exist here. And anyway, we found this through a series of events. We found this really incredible midwife that was just 10 minutes away. And we had planned to maybe give birth in her birthing center again, because it was just a really beautiful center and stuff. But again, I was like, you know, I'm only going to be there for 12, 24 hours and I have to go home. And I just really hate doing that. I remember hating that before. And I just asked her, I was like, would you be willing to let me have my baby outside? And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, are you serious? So, because my ultimate dream was like to have like this beautiful cast iron tub and like hang really cool linens around the yard and have like a fire underneath it to warm the water and have my baby outside with, you know, wildflowers or something. He was born in August, so no wildflowers. But my husband had built like a beach in our backyard. That's like a whole long story, but basically we have this huge area of like 20 by 20 with just sand and you could bury yourself and there's palm trees and sago palms and the pool and everything. It's just a really nice place and like a little cabana and all made out of cedar. And it's just a really peaceful place. And it's where we spend a lot of time. I mean, it's actually where my husband and I got married too. We got married on the beach. So we're like, you know, we're going to have this beach baby, you know? So yeah, he came really fast too. I think all my kids have been really fast. And we spent the night. I started having contractions at like 11 o'clock that evening. And so basically I didn't get sleep because then I was like really excited. Like, oh my gosh, you're going to have this baby. And also we had been praying for him to be born that next day because my midwife had to leave for her son's wedding in Montana the day after.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah. The Wednesday she had to be gone. So I was like, he either needs to come now or he's going to have to wait a week. We didn't know it was a boy. Well, I felt like it was a boy, but anyway. And so we spent the night on the beach under our like lights out there, filling up the tub and like just, you know, having a really good time, just being really giddy about like our first child together. And it was just a really beautiful night. And then I tried to take like a little nap and I really couldn't. And then I remember just being like, okay, I think I'm ready like to have this baby. And at the time too, I was excited to like work with the rushes even more, you know, like the contractions, like for, so for each rush that came, you know, I would like picture the ocean coming in and coming out and just like really trying to like meditate in the space or whatever. So it was really fun to kind of like try that. But I remember being kind of like, okay, well, like we need to have this baby. And I was a little worried that it was going to be long or something. And I was like, I've never had like a long time where it was like painful. So what do we need to do? So my mom and my husband were like, oh, let's like get you dancing. So they put on like every like 1980s, like what are those called? Like montages that they could find. So we're doing Footloose.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're doing Eye of the Tiger. All so like by the fourth one, I'm in pain now because the contractions are absolutely coming. And like he made this beautiful meal for me. And I like couldn't eat it because I was like, I'm going to go throw up, you know, so I didn't actually, but I was in the bathroom and I felt nauseous and I was in pain. And by then, I think probably within 20 minutes, the midwife was there and I was able to go out to the beach, which was nice, but it was very painful. And then I was a little, I remember being like worried about getting in the warm water because I had read, I never had a water birth and I was concerned that it was going to slow down the labor. And then I was also scared, like, am I going to be able to like handle it? You know, my husband's 6'4" also. And so I was a little worried that like, he was going to be a big baby, you know, I'm 5 foot. So yeah, I was just concerned about that, you know? Anyway, but I ended up getting in the water and it was really cool because I heard like God in my head be like, hey, we're going to growl through these. And super weird to me. I've never like had any experiences like that before, but he just showed me a picture of like this gray gorilla, like a big guy. And he's like, and we're just going to, you know, breathe through this, you know, gorilla style. And so I was making these like guttural like sounds through like the hard contractions. And it really got me through though, because I could picture this gorilla. And I could make this noise. And I'd always been, I think, you know, Ina May talks about this, you know, like releasing noise and stuff like that. And that being able to like push it through or whatever, you know. And I could never do like the horse thing that she would talk about. Like, that's just like too embarrassing. But I could do this gorilla thing. And a funny story after the fact, my mom was watching my girls and my daughter at the time, I'm not sure how old she was. Gosh, she was 4 or something. She was like, who is making that awful noise? Because she could hear through the bathroom window that was open. And, you know, she didn't realize it was her mother giving birth to her brother. But that was a funny story for afterwards. I was like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's hilarious. But anyway, so then, because it was just, it was really painful. So God was like counting me down. He's like, 5 more gorilla pushes and we'll be done. And he was like counting me. Like, there was a voice in my head just like telling me this. And sure enough, we get to 1 and I'm ready. And I get pulled out of the tub, actually, because I was losing steam by that time, too, because I hadn't slept all night. And so the midwife, she kind of like had to talk me through it. And, you know, his head was out, but then we couldn't get his shoulders out. So she actually like stuck her like finger, her index finger in there and like got around his underneath his arm and like pulled him out on like one of the pushes. And then he came out and everything was fine. He was fine. Everything was good. Everyone was, you know, healthy and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was my beach, backyard beach birth.
That's amazing. That is amazing. I love that.
She was peaceful.
Yeah, it wasn't. And the girls were outside. Like, as soon as he was born, they were outside. I wanted them to be there, but my mom is weird about blood and her baby having babies. It's always just makes her feel nervous. So she didn't want to come out. But then the girls were there, like, immediately, like, pretty much, like, right after he was born. Within a minute, they were there. So they got to see him. And I remember my daughter was, like, helping me because I was having like afterbirth contractions. And she was like, you did so good, mom. He's so beautiful. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she was young. Like she was so young, but she was so, you know, beautiful. Like, and she was so helpful in that moment too. Of like, wow, just to like encourage me of like, okay, like I did it. Like this is over. I did it.
Man.
We're okay.
That's so sweet. I always imagine that.
Were the kids at any of the births or none of them?
Yeah, my kids were at all of them, but sometimes they were just like in the hallway. So like when I gave birth to Esalen, I mean, I'm kind of out of it, but I think Maya was just in the hallway. She was 2 at the time, 2 and a half. So I don't think she saw anything. Yeah. But I would have liked for my kids too. Like, I think it's a good thing. If you feel like it, you know, for your kids to be there, because it's such a special, it's a very spiritual thing that's happening. Like, a, you know, a human is now taking their first breath of official air. It's really cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're becoming part of their family too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird whenever we like separate everything, like even dads can't be there sometimes, you know, and like, and it's like, oh, mom left pregnant and then she comes back and she has this baby inward. There's like a detachment there versus like seeing all of it and even seeing mom in distress and seeing mom hopefully overcome that distress or even whatever happens, you know, it's life. You know, we've been doing this for centuries and there's just a lot to learn. And just because it is like heightened or whatever doesn't necessarily mean it's, you know, bad or scary or harmful. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so cool. I love that you had him outside. What a special time and moment. Was it really, really hot or anything? Or I guess it was overnight, right?
No, we had him at, I think it was like 10:30 or something that morning, or 12:30 okay. or something like that. So it's August in Texas, so it was probably hot, but I also really love summer. I love the heat. And so I don't remember anything about being uncomfortable at all. I remember being comfortable in the way of like, we're on our beach. I'm like, everything I look at is blue skies and, you know, palm branches and things. And so for me, I was great. And then like, you know, Zealand, he got his first, you know, sun bath right out there sitting on the swing, you know, like it just feels so, when it does happen and there aren't, you know, traumas that happen during it, it's so perfect, you know, mm-hmm. When it does go right, I guess, like it just is such a beautiful thing. It's so cool.
Was that your midwife's first outdoor birth?
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think it's happened since, but yes. I'm just so grateful she was like willing to just be okay with it.
Yeah. And she made it on time.
And she made it on time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I definitely don't blame the other midwives for that. That's definitely on me. I should have been like, yeah, you should probably go ahead and come. My babies are fast, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. I just didn't want a hungry midwife. Like that sounded sad.
I know. You did mention both the times that they needed to go eat, which, like,
it was lunch time. It was.
Yeah. I support that. Is there, like, anything postpartum that you want to share or any advice that you would give to new moms?
I did want to read this one little excerpt from Zealand's birth story, which was the beach baby, because I think it's encouraging. And also, it's cool to go back and read your birth stories because you sometimes forget some of these details and these like precious little gifts that we get whenever we are able to be like fully present. Okay, so I just want to read this really quickly.
Yeah.
It says, the last few weeks have been beautiful and challenging and certainly marked with the beginning of a new season of life. We spent the first week in newborn bliss experiencing the calm nature of this new little guy while my mom took the kids to endless parks and fun adventures. We were smitten to say the least. Week 2 was a gradual transition to reality as Joshua returned to work. And week 3 has brought me to a new approach to daily life. As a self-diagnosed list maker / checker, I have been learning to be content with only a few boxes ticked. Sometimes only being laundry, feeding baby, and not completely losing it. But today has brought dancing and laughing as the girls and I have enjoyed the simple and repetitive joy of caring for our new little man. As much as I wanted to start school today and do actual learning, it would be silly to think of all of our time together loving on our newest member of the family as some sort of waste of time. We are living love. We are learning through serving. A muscle memory is being created with each rock and impromptu song we sing together over him. We are sharing in a special time in his life that only comes once. Life doesn't always follow a calendar or fit so neatly into a 5-day work week. Instead, it follows a rhythm, an ebb, and a flow. We would be wise to allow this washing to teach us, purify us, and shape us into the people we're created to be. A people who love, who sing, and who are sometimes ebbed into laughing while covered in pee. But I read that just recently, just like preparing for this, just to like refresh my mind. And I was like, wow, like it just reminded me of like, you know, spending time together, loving one another is never a waste of time. And mm-hmm. as someone who is like, I have a to-do list every single day, I like to check those boxes. That's a legitimate issue for me. that's something I need reminding of, like, on a regular basis of, like, no, like, us just, like, connecting our hearts to one another is totally worth time spent, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a very good reminder.
Yeah. I feel this, like, all the way in my bones, too. I've just had, like, a lot of that kind of come up recently for me. So I really appreciate you sharing that.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad that it helped.
Are you a writer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, cool. I love writing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really
cool. So I have a blog. Like, I have a website and a blog, warmhoneytoast.com. And I don't get to write as often as I like to, but when I do write, it's about intentional living, like just living this life with our kids intentionally. And I'm just like kind of raw and honest in there of like, because some days are awful, you know, and some days are absolutely magical. And it's almost like that contrast that happens in life. You know, we have the darkness and lightness, and like there's no light without dark. And like, it's okay to breathe through all of that and also just to know that like parenting is hard. Being a mom is really difficult. You don't get to pause when you're tired or you don't know who you are or any of those things. Like, it's 24 hours a day. It's all the time. And you're holding space for these other beings and your husband, you know, and your friends and hopefully yourself. And like, I've just been learning self-care this past year. I didn't know how much I wasn't like caring for myself or even loving for myself really until I like started meditating on that and being like, oh my goodness, like I don't respect myself. So, you know, I would advise all women to read Ina May for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, savor the present moments and trust yourself. You know, it's not about being perfect. It's about being present. You know,
I couldn't have asked for like a better guest. And like, who wanted to share all of these feelings when I'm 36 and a half weeks pregnant. Thank you. You're like giving me like a, I don't know, just a sense of like being present, which I think even like tonight, I think I like did that. And I need to stop talking or I'm going to cry.
Crying is good. Crying is so good. Yeah, like I went through a whole thing when I was young where I didn't let myself cry and I would like silent cry. So I could be laying in my bed with my husband and I could cry and he would not know because I could literally like stop my body from moving and everything. Cause I just had this thing against Rihanna who cried and it was like negative and she was weak mm-hmm. and whatever. And so one of the reasons I really loved being pregnant, you know, and I mentioned it earlier, like I was so emotional, but I loved it because it meant I wasn't numb. Which was something that I struggled with for like 10 years of like that being the thing I went to was being numb. And that's an awful place to be. Mm-hmm. So even now, like if I get emotional about something, I'm so grateful because I have walked out of, I know what it's like to be in the opposite of that. And I'm like, I'd rather be a basket case if we're going to like put labels on it than be numb, because being numb is so unhealthy and just a scary place to be. So tears, I mean, there's just, oh my gosh, you're like washing, like it's so good, like things are being released, right? Like energy being released. And so I don't know why in our society we're like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna, like, yeah, you're gonna cry. Like I'm so glad that we're emotional people, you know?
Yeah
because, you know, when I stub my toe and the cat looks at me and just keeps walking, like that's sad. Like they pull off, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry that, you know, I tripped you and you stubbed your toe. But we get to be that way, at least. We can acknowledge each other.
Yeah.
That's the lead example.
Yeah.
I had a good cry in the car on, it was New Year's Eve. I was driving, I don't even know where I was driving now. But I was like, a song came on and I got really emotional. And I was like, oh my God, this is so silly. Like, why am I crying now? And then I just was like, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. And I just like cried like all the way up to my driveway. And then I was like, okay. That was good. Like it was, I don't know why, but it was like a good release for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't think we know it is moving through us at all. And I mean, it took me so long and I'm still not even there, but my husband is so good because sometimes he's just like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm such like a inner work person. Like I usually know what triggered me or whatever, but sometimes I don't know what it is. And I'm like, I don't know. And he'll just be like, it's okay. And he'll just let me cry on his shoulder. And it is so healing. First of all, because someone is like willing to take up their time to just let me cry. And I can't even tell them why. I don't have a good reason. There's no subtoe. But like things are moving through us. Energy is moving through us. And it's really, really healing. And honestly, we need to be more grateful for it, because think about this. Most men cannot cry. You know, like something pretty awful or defeating has to happen for them to like cry. And that means that emotion is stuck in their body. That trauma and stuff is stuck in their body. And it really does have an effect. And so it's so cool that we can do that. It's probably a blessing, because we have to do so much stuff. Like we have to hold all the space for everybody and balance all this stuff. Like if we couldn't cry, we'd probably be bad, you know?
Yeah.
We wouldn't make it.
No.
Yeah. That's so true.
I'm a happy crier too. So like any wedding, a baby being born, anything, I am like in tears. And yeah, my husband will be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm happy. Okay. Just check.
I mean, Liz, Arthur being born, I came in and just like sobbed.
Just burst into tears.
I love babies and birth. Well, I can't wait to check out your blog. And I love that name, Worm Honey Toast. Just perfect.
Yeah. I got it from an author that I love, and I'm not going to remember her name. Anyway, she wrote Heaven on Earth. I don't know, my recall memory. But she wrote about a thing she used to do with her son. She's an older woman now, where they would have warm honey toast before bed and like warm milk. And she did it as like a transition. Yeah, and this is a Waldorf mom, and that's how I raised my kids, was with this like Waldorf philosophy. And so it was this beautiful transition from like, and especially as when they're young, like they're eating all the time, right? And then transitioning to bedtime is already hard, and don't do baths before bed. And so it was just a great way. I loved it as soon as I read about it. And we would have warm, like sprouted cinnamon raisin toast and like milk or tea before bed. And I just thought, when I was praying about my name for my blog, that's what hit me, warm honey toast, because it was like, it was all these things. It was this precious, intentional tradition, right? Like this, like a ceremony, whatever. What is it called? What am I trying to say? Anyway, this thing that we did.
Rituals.
A ritual. That's the word. A ritual. It was this ritual that we did, right? Which is very comforting to kids. And it's just very loving, whatever. And also it like incorporated this like heart, hands, head thing that Waldorf was all about, or like whole child raising, you know, like when you're raising your whole child, you're not just raising like little, like, you know, fact spitter outers. Like you're raising kids, and we're using our hands, and we're playing in sand, and we're paying attention to their emotions, and we're respecting them, and we're listening to them when they talk to us. We're not just brushing them off. And we're also teaching them things. And that's what Warm Honey Toast was, like this whole like full circle thing to me is what it represented. So that's where the name came from. Also, honey is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. We started this like nightly routine of like saying night night to everything. So we're like, night night kitchen, night night living room, night night thermostat, night night baby girl's room. And then, like, we have wedding pictures right outside of our son's room. And we're like, night-night wedding picture. And then it just helps them.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It is. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's very fun and cute. And he, like, waves to everything. Night-night.
I remember my son, he's always had this thing with the moon. And he always wanted his daddy to, like, get the moon for him, because his dad could just do anything. And so we would just do this whole story. There's this little boy and the moon. And I would just like impromptu, like tell him stories about this boy named Zealand and the moon. It's what helped him during the hard times when he was like learning how to get his bedtime routine where he could put himself to sleep. Cause he pretty much puts himself to sleep. Now we read stories and then he just kind of like turns over and falls asleep. But that was one of the things that we did, is we did like this moon story. Mm. Yeah.
So little things.
Just little things. And like, I miss those things. Like, it's so, they're so good.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing all this just beautiful intentionality. And I, like I said, I just couldn't ask for a better guest when I'm this pregnant.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm glad that it, you know, did something for you. We definitely need each other. Like, I needed Ina May and all those women who were willing to share their stories and other people in my life, like the midwives and stuff. They were like, no, it's okay for you to, you know, do things that you want to do, you know, because then you go to the grocery store and people are like, well, this is what you should do because this was my experience. And they're just like awful. So, and yeah, we need other people in our life that can encourage us where we're at on our journey. So
yeah,
that I can do a little bit of that. Plus, it was just fun talking to you guys. And it really brought up a lot of just like, oh, just like more memories of when my kids were younger. Because the time really does fly. I love the season that we're in now. But gosh, it was so fun doing all those little things.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on and listening.
Now, where can people find you if they wanted to connect?
Oh, yeah. Well, the website is warmhoneytoast.com, and my handle on Instagram is @warmhoneytoast. And the name of my studio is Artforia Studio and Garden, and that's what you'll find on Facebook. But the links are like all there and stuff. So, yeah.
Awesome.
So, and then also, can I say this? I just released my podcast, The Creative Living Podcast, a few days ago.
Yay. Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, I keep forgetting this because I was going to release it in the spring along with like spring energy. But then I just said it because I was talking about some other stuff, and I just said it, and I was like on like an Instagram video, and I was like, I'm just going to do it. I already have episodes recorded. I'm just going to do it. So yeah, I just talk about creative living and intentional living and balancing motherhood and creativity and like, how do we do this? And is it even important? Should we, whatever? Because that's something I've struggled with for a really long time, of having balance of like my art and my creativity and also being a present mom. So.
Yeah. Well, we would love to collaborate and listen and be guests if you ever need us.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Awesome. Perfect.
Thank you so much. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in tonight. And if you want to leave a review or share this podcast with a friend, that would make us happy. And tune in next week. And yeah,
we'll see you next episode.